or it doesn't hit, or it makes the catch, it doesn't make the catch. It's more about whether I hit my
spot. You would.
What is up, everybody?
Oh, we're starting.
We're podcasting.
Man. Hey, everybody. Welcome.
Oh, God. Tins, you just sprung that on us, man.
What number is this?
That's new.
Oh, why? I'm glad you asked. This is episode. This is actually kind of big. 25.
25.
Yeah.
I had a feeling.
I'm not 25.
I didn't want to jump the gun.
How many people here are 25 years old?
One, two, three, four, five.
So, just
We're all sitting on the same couch here.
We're a quarter century.
This is the sexy 25 couch right here.
Yeah, I'm 25. Mark's up the last of his pizza for one.
No, first of my pizza.
Oh, you've gotten one.
Yeah. All right, that's got to be confusing to everybody else.
We've been referencing pizza for one for months.
Yeah,
have
true.
We on the podcast? Not.
Yes,
it's been on at least two,
and in a couple.
Do we
shows.
Want to explain pizza for
one? Not if we've done it on a podcast already.
Yeah. Yeah, let's get started.
Why don't we say our names first?
Why don't we start over at the far end?
That's you, Brian.
Okay.
That's me. hey, everybody, it's Brian Wool.
Hey, everybody, it's Lauren Elizabeth Imony.
Hi, I'm Mark Andrew Musinski.
I'm Matthew Caesar Gutierrez, LP.
I'm Keith Douglas Habersberger. Hey, come on, let me finish my name.
I got a rename.
Right. I'm Keith Douglas Habersberger.
Nice. I'm Matthew James Herzog Tins.
I'm Chris. I don't have a last name. It's like Cher.
Hi, I'm Lisa Marie Ritterelli.
Oh, that's a nice name.
Lisa Marie.
Yeah, it's very Italian.
What's your name, Castelvi?
It's Matthew Charles Castelvi.
I guess I'm a dick. I didn't say my middle name. It's Alan.
Brian Allen Wolf.
I didn't know you guys had middle names like
that. It's family name.
Yeah, we have white middle names, too.
Before the podcast starts, just fuck the question.
Let's not read a question.
On my father's side of the family, I have the same middle name as like the last four generations. So my father, my great-grandfather, great-grandfather, and then so on and so forth, all have the middle name of Caesar.
Caesar Chavez?
Like Caesar Menon.
Yeah, like any Caesar, really.
Well, it's like just
like little Caesar.
Eat two Brutus.
So, who's got that mail bag?
Oh, I got it.
Normally. Shit, I don't think anybody got
it.
Mark said he had it.
Yeah, let me get it out. Oh, there it is.
Oh, there it is.
This one comes to us from Katie Lalonde, and from Chicago, Illinois.
No, she's from Glencoe.
Glencoe.
Yeah, she lied.
You didn't read that, Mark. From the Chicago metro area.
Okay, that's
great. And her question...
Katie's doing well. We haven't heard from Katie.
I love Katie.
Because we didn't read that one podcast.
If I remember, it was slightly racist or something.
Her question wasn't necessarily racist. We just found that we were.
Yeah, we're the racist ones.
No.
Katie is sort of racist. And I know you're listening to this, Katie.
What's her question?
Her current question is as follows. Hey, guys. I am really afraid of a nuclear holocaust. Mostly because it would diminish the weed crops of the world.
That's weird.
What are you guys afraid of? And no pussy answers like, I'm afraid of failure. Okay? Thanks.
How about,
I'm afraid all the weed is going to burn up isn't a pussy answer?
Well, I mean, obviously everyone else would burn up as well. I mean, you're afraid of
she's only afraid of the weed.
You know what? That's just one specific.
Mostly because
of that. I'll tackle this.
So, like, dark fears.
All right, Brian Allen.
I'm scared of this, and I'll let it out. It's kind of a downer, but I've always been scared of just not doing it.
Is that a pussy answer? Then?
Yeah. I'll explain why.
Not
okay.
I'm very afraid of just not working hard enough to accomplish anything. I'm always afraid that I will not strike my mark that I want to strike and put in the footprint that that I want to put in. Good. And so I always do the best I can to make sure that I make that imprint, or at least set an example, so that it can be followed. And may not necessarily, you know, it's not that I necessarily preach on the street, but I try to set an example so that maybe after I am gone, my thoughts and philosophies will not necessarily be accredited to me, but they may live on through those who have been around me. Mm-hmm. And I'm very afraid.
Too deep
for me. I guess I've always been afraid that that nothing that everything that I've done will never live on.
But you just said you're fine with it living on. You just don't think it'll be accredited to you.
I don't necessarily need it accredited to me, but I'm really afraid that what I've worked for won't last.
Well, Brian, I don't mean to you know, add to your fears, but nothing we do matters in the cosmic sense.
Whoa.
In the universal
sure.
sense.
Even in the geological
sense. Dude, you just blew my mind. You just blew my mind.
Even in the geological timescale sense,
yeah.
Nothing we do matters.
And
I would argue in 100 years.
See,
we'll all be forgotten.
I understand your argument, but I also do believe in energy being transferred and the energy mm-hmm. being moved through, you know, other humans,
mm-hmm.
And it moving on and outward and whatnot, and I feel that striking through that, you know, I want to at least. You know, make an impact on
you know,
what
I think that's an interesting thing to bring up because, you know, I think what you're getting at here, and I agree with you, is like you think about when you learn about something someone's done through history, and when you learn about that and you take, oh, that's really interesting what that person did, and you take a little bit of inspiration from how somebody led some revolution, or how somebody invented some product, or how somebody realized something, and you realize, oh, if he did this at age 24, that there's no reason I couldn't at age 28 do something just as impacting. So mm-hmm. even though it's maybe not like, let's say, BWO invents a super hang glider, maybe I'm never affected by actually super hang gliding, but I'm affected by learning that someone could invent such a thing that would inspire me to do more, that would take his...
But see, the thing is, the person who is responsible for it, technically, isn't always who did it. Case in point, Forrest Gump. Now, Forrest Gump didn't desegregate that college, and he didn't do all... that other stuff that he did, but it wouldn't have happened without him.
Are you trying to convince me that a fictional character didn't do something? Because I'm well aware of
it's,
that.
But it's the whole argument that not just because you're not the guy who invented it doesn't mean you didn't have a part in it coming about.
No, but still, and that's still true too, that BWO could be the guy who actually invents the super hang glider, but someone else takes the credit, but still...
Or you just inspire, because you did something and someone was around you,
right.
Super hang glider guy would go, oh, I should make a super hang glider because I just noticed what that guy did there.
See, I
right.
just
but,
think...
I mean, they still might forget.
But I want to actually throw it back to BWO just to make sure that, just to hear your thoughts on our interpretations of your thoughts.
I mean, I see... Yeah. But,
he sees it.
Yeah, and yeah, I understand. I guess, I try not to worry about my global impact as much as I worry about my communal impact,
mm-hmm.
and then where that goes from there.
Sure.
And I take it one step at a time. I think And so from there, you know, wherever it comes, I guess I'm always, yeah, it's hard to define your greatest fear, but
mm-hmm.
I guess my, you know, mm-hmm. what I'm trying to say is I guess my greatest fear is that every time I've tried to, entertain.
Sorry, not Brian, yeah. but Mark is just
Mark's
slowly
just sitting here eating pizza.
Eating
pizza
his way. His
as
pizza.
Quietly as possible.
His pizza is crunchier than goddamn, like, just bunches.
I'm fully
cereal.
Aware, as I'm bearing my soul, my fucking friend that I have lived with for years is munching away on his fucking pizza.
He's just trying to lighten
his
the mood.
Brother's politely eating as slowly as possible.
Yeah, yeah.
Mark,
I gather that, asshole.
I'll also point out...
I'm realizing my worst fear right here next to you, you redheaded bastard.
I'll also point out, Mark, that along with that pizza, you did bring a bag of wavy Lay's.
That was for me. Wait a second.
That was,
I mentioned a while ago
that was for
I was
Lauren
hungry.
To interrupt
Let's all
me
have
moment.
Snacks while B-Wo bears his soul. All right,
that's
all right, fine.
All right. Let's get back a little
okay.
on track at the very least.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that as long as you express your beliefs and be the person that you want to be, it sounds cheesy, but like,
it's good, yeah.
I think as long as, you know, when you play like that role in society, no matter how small it is, then you will affect other people and you will be remembered. And it's not a matter of like, oh,
no,
will
man,
I make an
fuck
impact?
That. Fuck that. Not actually. But
bring it, pizza for one.
Okay. So here's the thing. And this is what I'm always torn about. You'll right. see these, there's all these people who will come out with like a philosophy or a way of living where they're like, live in the moment, be happy with what you're given. And that's really wonderful. And like, I have so much respect for like that and the ability to like enjoy exactly what is given to you and what you have. But then, like,
but.
What creeps me out
but.
Is then what I saw this, like, Sarah article Monk. In Business Week, and it was about all these, like, CEOs and upper-level managers, you know, people with millions and millions of dollars who read those books, and they're like, yeah, you're right. I deserve everything that I have. And then they would buy a copy of this book for the people who do data entry for $8.50 an hour, and they're like, if you're not happy with your life, it's your own fault.
Okay,
you know what?
I want to interrupt because it just came to an epiphany about Mark, and it's just such a tangent. But I need to talk about it. Not too long ago, and a couple podcasts ago, Mark said that his greatest pet peeve was when people who aren't him are put into a situation that they can't control. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. Where like an example would be like. Stop defending yourself, but no matter what you do, yeah. you're always going to be like that.
Yeah, and gonna be
you're yes. going to be stop being so defensive, but you can't not stop being defensive if it's not true.
Especially
course.
When the aggressor is saying, "Don't be defensive."
Exactly.
For those of you that haven't read this in 25 podcasts, and Matt Castelvi has an encyclopedic memory, if he has a chance to review. He'll review it, and he may seem, you know, very extroverted and silly at times. Boy, is he very insightful.
We'll get to me in a second. But
first.
And you'll also notice in every podcast, Mark at least one time tells a very sad story about his life. And I think the reason Mark is such a sad sack is because he takes the world's pain on his shoulders.
Yes, he lets them put the monkey on his back.
His pet peeves aren't about him, they're about other people and that he can't control. And so if someone else is in pain, Mark feels that pain and takes that. Mark, would you say that's an accurate assumption?
Yeah, I can see that.
He's like a vampire.
Okay. Just stop talking about me, please.
This all kind of plays in. All
right, go on. What we're talking about.
Katie has struck a nerve with this one because right now we have to actually look at ourselves in a weird way. This
well,
is very uncomfortable.
Well, see, but
for
like Katie's
not for me. I'm having a great
Katie's
time.
Well, I'm glad you are.
Yeah, yeah. Katie's
I can't wait till we get to you.
It's spiders. Go ahead.
Katie's question. She talked about. She said, "What are your fears?" She said, "Nuclear holocaust." And she says, "Don't do a bullshit fear like failure." So I think Katie was actually asking about. Things like spiders or missiles or car crashes.
And that's why I want to talk about.
Well, I just want to say, if you think any of our fears are, as Katie said, pussy answers. Please comment about it on the website.
Oh my God, Mark, stop peddling.
I want to know. I want to know what you think of pussy
info beer. At octavarius.com. Write your own question.
I was gonna just say, Katie, man, nuclear holocaust is scary as fuck. I'm scared as hell about that. I'm scared that, like, the worst shit that could happen to devastate the country has not happened yet. But it could very easily. There are nukes and... Yeah. There are nukes. It could be very easy to steal a nuke. A nuke could go off at any time.
Not very.
How
easy do you think it is to steal
a
nuke?
Could I just get one?
What kind of hijinks do you think Octavarius would have to go through to steal a nuke?
It would be like Ocean's 11, but with Octavarius.
And I've talked before about, if they just fucked up the internet. Like,
you'd be pissed. I'd be real upset.
The internet is hooked up. Everything on the internet, like our power grids and all our like missiles and all our defense systems, are hooked up to the same internet that like the Octavarius website is on. We all use the same internet, so it just takes the right people to be able to turn our technology against us. It could fuck up the whole world. That's all the information. That's all our power hooked up to one source. That's scary shit, man.
I want to say two things, and then I'll stop talking for a while. Going off of your nuclear thing, holocaust, Katie and Chris, I always, because we're in a big city, and as it is, it could be attacked by something. I mean, they tried to blow up...
A monster.
Well, not like a monster,
well,
but an explosion.
Thing, dude. You
something.
Said
like a big, like a nuclear... like a nu-
why can,
I don't
why
know.
Do we have to rule out monsters?
Well, we'll get to monsters in a second.
Okay, well, all as right, long as we get to
because if like a nuclear explosion were to happen, this is a lot of people to mm-hmm. die.
Yeah.
So I often will fantasize like... Well,
fantasize.
Well, I guess I mean daydream. What would you call it? Let me explain.
Have a nightmare.
Tell me what, imagine.
Imagine.
Yes. So I'll be walking and I just see the mushroom cloud. I'm like, and that's all you have. Yeah. You're done.
See,
and that's the end.
There's actually a precaution that was recently taken. It's actually losers on the internet are going nuts about it. Obama actually, Congress just passed a law. Joe Lieberman passed it. So. The president of the United States now has what's called an internet kill switch, which means if something happens and like terrorists try to shut down our power system or they can get a hold of it, the president has the power to completely shut down the internet in the country.
See, not a one bit of that scares me. See? Not one bit of that scares me. I'm more scared of internal things than I am of external things.
I believe, I think Katie, I believe her aim was that all internal things are pussy things.
Yeah.
That's how I'm interpreting
LP,
this.
Remember when I showed you that video of a meteor coming and hitting the Earth? Like that was like miles big.
Yeah, we've talked about this several times.
Did we talk about it on the podcast?
No, not on the podcast.
Yeah, so there's a video online, and it's just someone in Japan, like a university in Japan, did this video about a huge. It's an awesome. It's like a huge asteroid hits the Earth, and it just shows what happens to the Earth when this happens. It's bigger than Texas, so don't even ask Armageddon fans. it hits Earth, and within a day, everything's gone. Right. Everything. And then at the end of the video, it does it by like minute, like hour one, it hits the Atlantic Ocean, all of the like cloud and debris sweeps the Earth, like killing millions, and then fire just engulfs the Earth within 12 hours. The Earth is uninhabitable. And then at the end, it's like, this has happened like 8 times in Earth's history.
Well, and really, if you really want to further terrify yourself, go to the NASA website that graphs like all the near misses like every day, every week, because there's a bunch of asteroids that like kind of almost hit Earth. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, like they're less than, you know, 10 Earth distances away from us.
I don't know, I just don't believe that we will be destroyed by an asteroid anytime soon.
We probably won't, you're right. But here is something that we could be destroyed by, which is a theory thing that I read the other day that has currently been like the scariest thing I've ever read, or at least the most recently the scariest thing I've read, and it's About this oil spill business.
Oh. Oil spill, you say?
Yeah. Is it the fish that walks?
No. I
will preface this Keith, by saying I did look, because we talked about this yesterday, I looked into this, and about half of the websites involving this said that it was all bunk. The other half said it was not all bunk.
Yeah, so it maybe yes. Maybe
it's
no.
One theory.
But that's why it's just a fear and not
yeah, he'll
a
explain
sure
it right
thing.
Now.
What it is with the oil spill, with the amount that's rushing out, it's not just oil. It's not just oil that's coming out. It's a lot of oil, but it's also a lot of methane, which is, if you know, really flammable. And it's concentrated methane because it's underwater, so it's under all that pressure that everything else underwater is. It's right now they're thinking it's possible that this methane is forming huge bubbles, or possibly a huge bubble, because it's maybe happened before in the history of the Earth that such methane has leaked before, created a giant bubble, which has then burst, wiping out the civilization of the Earth, wiping out pretty much everything that's alive on it. You need pressure and heat more than you need a flame. There's a lot of things that can...
It would destroy all of Earth.
Well, it wouldn't destroy all of it. It destroys like 98% of life.
That's enough for me to die.
Oh, yeah. No, it'll kill
us. I'm not living. Me and LP, we talked about this when we talked about the asteroid. Yeah. You were like, I'll live when the Earth gets hit by an asteroid.
You know what?
Fuck that.
It's precautions because the molten lava would be like 4 miles deep in the Earth. All you'd have to do is set up some kind of bunker.
You have less than a day to do it.
That's right. You're right. You're absolutely right. And here's the thing why I'd say I could survive something like that, because I don't really care.
Yep.
Like anything outside of my control, I just don't care, and I just let go, which is why I'm not afraid of a lot of things.
That's why I'm also not afraid of this, except for the fact that because I will, if this happens, we'll see it coming, which isn't like a nuke where you see it happen and then you're dead. This is because it's in the Gulf. We'll see it hit all of the South and all of Mexico, and this, if it were to happen, and then we'll get like half a day to freak out.
But still, that's still something that's out of your control.
But
That's why my fears are such pussy fears. All I care about is shit that's internal. I'm sorry. Anything that is outside of my realm of control, I'm not afraid of. I can't do anything
about it. B-Row, what about centipedes?
Oh, God, thank God.
Fuck them.
Aren't they horrible?
I hate centipedes. God, yeah. I fucking hate
them. It
doesn't
scare me. They're creepy, though. They creep me out.
I don't know what it is.
I'm not afraid of them. I would rather they not be around me when I'm in bed, but...
Would you not be scared if you were, like, sleeping and then there was a centipede on your eye?
All
right, let's
sorry,
your
it's
eye.
Called fear.
Let's transition into this, because this is what I want to talk about. I don't care about things like fucking asteroids or, a nuclear holocaust, because I can't control that. Or even if the BP oil spill catches
methane bubble.
Right, if there's some kind of fire that takes place and it takes a week for it to get to me and I'm going to die anyway. Okay, that's fine. I can't control that.
Whatever.
I will die.
That's fine.
But if there was like a poisonous black widow that fell on my shoulder, and it was because of my stupidity of not noticing it falling on my shoulder, then I'm at fault for dying, and that's what I'm afraid of.
Let me pose to you this then. What about the scenario of a zombie apocalypse? Like, does that scare it? Because it's out of your control because there's a zombie apocalypse, but it is in your control in that you control how long you've survived.
That's exactly that terrifies me, but it's something I'm trying to overcome because
come to terms with
right,
your fear of zombies.
Because if zombies actually attack, then I mean, Selvy knows.
This happened
about
like this weekend. LP, we're driving to film sketches.
Oh, that's right.
And then LP turns to me and he's like, I got this exercise routine that's like zombie oriented. Well, it's just zombie
what?
Survival.
What?
I think I'm going to do it. In my mind, I mean, it's a great idea. Don't get me wrong. I have that fear too. But rationally, it's not going to happen. That has never happened in history.
I understand, but
Selby, you
will
be the first one to die if the zombie apocalypse.
That's the first thing I thought when you were talking.
You just kiss, you know,
not with this kiss swarm everyone of goodbye. Human
oh
hunters.
Yeah, Chris, I'm sure you'll survive so long in the zombie apocalypse.
Hey, I'm not the one saying 100% right now zombie attack will never happen.
It might.
That's just asking for it. That is out zombie, of the first
would anyone you're gonna be the first one like, I bite and it's gonna be the eyeballs.
Would anyone to pretend
oh, I'll die
zombie.
Too, but not so fast.
Yeah, zombies will.
Can smell. They can smell you.
Wait, so did yeah.
Well, the point
I was
of the
just
zombie...
is that a possibility what, that anyone could like pretend to be a zombie? And, like,
haven't you
get
seen
away
movies
the
no. Foreign that aren't Harry Potter?
I've read the
Bill
zombie
Murray got away with it.
I've read the zombie survival.
Take that,
guide.
Castelvi.
Shut up, Lauren.
All right, I've read the zombie survival right. guide, and they say that the point of a zombie is that it doesn't have any threshold for pain. So that it can use all of its senses to its full extent at all times. Like if we were going to use our physical strength, we'd have to stop after a while because our muscles would get tired.
Yeah.
And, you know, the natural thing to do would to be our tell our body to rest. Well, the zombie doesn't have that, so it'll keep going at full speed at
Whoa.
All times.
They're slower.
Well, that the
they're, I mean, they're dead. That's how they go.
Well, they slow down once their muscles start to deteriorate.
And also,
right.
turtles
this is
go,
all very scientific.
Turtles go full speed, but turtles ain't fast. Still, they're still at full speed.
Yeah.
Have I ever? I know I've told a couple of people about this. Have I told everyone about that one zombie dream I had? The the 24 hour zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, you've told me.
I had a dream like that.
Because
I don't know if it's coming up on the mic.
Well, because I have a zombie apocalypse nightmare. Like the only thing I ever really have nightmares about, it's like once every month or two, and it's always a zombie nightmare.
Yeah, I have those too, yeah.
But the last time I had one, the zombie nightmare was such that it was terrifying because all of you guys were zombies,
oh,
which is
nice.
Which is the oh, most that's the most
yeah,
awful
nice
part.
Is.
I'm sorry you didn't know.
Fuck your imagination.
See, well, it's
no,
not
I mean,
your
thanks
fault.
Thanks for imagining us in your dream.
No,
man.
Oh. Well, yeah, you're
like
right.
You could have thought of anybody for us to be zombies to kill you, like
ooh, Tins.
Ever. This like
segue,
it could be your second.
I had a dream with Tins the other day where we were bowling.
What?
And we both had a great game. Good
like, was
story.
It in the 200s?
Good story.
It was like a 240.
Nice.
But anyway,
wow.
This zombie dream was so weird in the sense that. You were all there, and I think I had to kill some of you guys.
Oh,
so
sweet.
I apologize.
I got killed because I think I remember you saying this
yeah.
after.
But in the morning,
something about how you feel about us.
See, well, in the morning, everyone was human again. So it was a zombie apocalypse.
Wait, was it bee hour, but zombie?
Maybe you had a dream within a dream.
I think the reality.
Wait, those are awful. Did you fucking kill me?
I
you killed me.
I
you
can't
son
tell you
of a bit?
I can't tell you for sure, but probably.
Look, I understand you killed me.
Be what was glaring.
But
at
I
kids.
Just but I just want to know. Did I make an impact before you killed me?
Yeah, Bebo. Right before you died, like the very instant before you died, you looked into my eyes, and I thought to myself, super hang glider.
You fucking shit! That's just what Keith nice. Made up. I didn't even think of that bullshit. Fuck.
All right.
Zombie died for nothing in your dream.
So this zombie apocalypse idea, and I'm just talking about the idea, is something that is out of my control, but it's my fault if I don't survive it. Because I didn't get in shape, and I didn't study enough of...
what if the odds are just against you?
That's not even...
It's not good enough.
It's not good enough.
Go
I can't even
there's
believe
there,
that
like,
this
I've,
is a fear of some people.
I've been jumped by multiple people
before. This is a
real
fear
before.
Of some people. Me.
I was walking on the street one day, I got jumped by like 5 dudes. And I was so pissed at myself because I couldn't defend myself. And it's my fault.
But it's five
guys. Well, I should be able to... Bruce Lee fight 5 guys all the time. I should be as good as Bruce Lee. And there's no reason why I can't be. And that's what scares me, is that something that I should be prepared for, I am not prepared for.
I think Bruce Lee is immortal, P.S. He is like
no, he's dead.
He's dead.
I mean,
he's dead.
I think a lot of fears stem on what you're not prepared for.
No, but I mean, when he was in his prime.
You know?
When he wasn't dead, he was immortal.
When he wasn't dead, he
was very much alive.
Lauren, you've been shaking and harumphing throughout this fucking podcast. What the fuck are you afraid of? Because you've just been going...
Is that what harumphing
is?
Because I was curious.
That's a Lord harumph.
I thought you actually say harumph.
So what is your deal? What's your deal?
So, because I felt like we weren't answering Katie's
Well, answer. What do you got to say?
So, what I was going to say, and Castelvi kind of touched upon it a little bit, like if there was a mushroom cloud coming and it was like, poof, okay, then we're done. Okay, that would be, in that scenario, best case scenario, you die like that, split second. My fear is you have a fucking nuclear holocaust or whatever's war is going on, whatever it is, and I'm like left. I'm one of the only ones left, and you're alone in the world. And you have, like, what if, like, you.
So it'd be all alone then.
Yes, yes, and that's my fear. And I think that's a fear of, like, an internal fear, too.
Long, agonizing death.
I think yours is broad, LP, and think hers is a specific type of your broad.
Okay. Well, I mean, I just feel like if I was the only one left alive, then I can't do anything about it. I would just walk in.
You know?
What if you could get into a shed, whatever, some type of dome.
Shield
that
shed
was,
or something.
But you know that, like, protected you from this nuclear craziness going on.
Like lead?
Like that movie Blast from the Past?
Yes! Yes!
Among many other movies.
Would you go in there? Wait.
Mostly Blast from the Past.
LP.
Whoa! From 15 feet out.
Yes, that's great. That's exactly what I was thinking, Claude. LP, would you go in there?
If
it was only like one person could fit in there, and they were like, "Go, LP, you'll make it," you know.
LP, you will asexually reproduce and save our species.
Well, like in hopes that there's another one of these shed shield things.
Here's the thing: right now, people are buying.
Did you just actually mention LP asexually reproducing? So I have to imagine my friend laying a human egg.
You know what?
I would imagine it. If I had it off of him,
he'd like
budding.
Concentrate really hard and then split into two LPs.
Lauren, what you're talking about though? People are buying that shit all over the place right now. People are buying shelters and ammo and food because they legitimately are like terrified.
But people did that in like the 1950s too.
I talked to a girl.
It's not bad to be prepared though.
I talked to a girl who legit tried to tell me that she thinks that Obama is playing it safe right now so he can get reelected. But once he gets reelected, he's going to be a tyrant and get rid of elections so he's the dictator in chief. And she's honestly convinced of
that. That makes sense because you have to get reelected before you get rid of elections.
I was just going to say that. Why wouldn't you just do it during this election and then say, hey, elections don't exist anymore?
The scary thing is, this is totally reasonable to millions of people in the country right now. You can think on the one hand that he's ruined us into the ground, that he's trying to like turn us into these communists and like a government, you know, new world order. And in the next breath, they're telling you that he's going to become a tyrant and enslave everyone in his own country and run it like a king.
My cousins, before Y2K...
I was hoping you'd get to this.
My cousins before Y2K, they went to Arizona and bought land. It's actually my aunt and uncle put my cousins through log cabin building training and rifle training. And they stocked up on honey. Because honey doesn't go bad. So they figured, after the Y2K apocalypse happened, they'd be able to barter with honey.
It's like honey would be the new currency.
Eat jars of honey like Winnie the Pooh.
And so like about, you know, like February 15th of the year 2000, everybody in our family got letters that were like, hey, do you guys want to buy some organic honey? It's delicious and you'll really enjoy it.
They waited like 2 months before they decided to sell this shit.
I realized.
I think they took them 2 months to humble themselves.
Come on, wait a second.
If there was like a human crumbling situation in which honey became the new currency, there would be people keeping beehives in their basement.
Oh man, that's not
terrible.
Keepers.
You know what? Wait, what is it with us and using animals as currency? This is the second time we've
done a podcast
with animal currency.
It's called the barter system.
You can't have your beehives outside.
Bees?
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to have your bees outside because someone could run up and steal your beehive.
We have to grow flowers bees, inside. And
bees,
how can we do that?
Bees are already that important, though. Like I.
Here we go.
No, recently I was on vacation and we were driving through Wisconsin and Minnesota, and we drive through all these farms, and like at the corner of every farm was just a row of beehives because they were using the bees to pollinate. And there was this whole news story when we were staying at the hotel overnight about how, you know, they were saying climate change, and I'm sure there might be other explanations too, but the bee population has been cut in like a third. Yeah. So there's like it's a small set of companies who are just traveling beekeepers who just bring their bees around.
Dude, the bee population is dropping like flies.
It's been insane. That's been since we were like...
That's been since
1997 I first heard about
it. I don't know. They've been saying it for years is the thing. And it's like everyone I always meet somebody who's trying to tell me that, well, this is the last year. Bees are going away. And don't buy it.
And there's been so many come back.
They're always back.
There's less
they're not
and less,
going anywhere.
But there's less and less of them, dude.
They're still
it's
there.
Been fucking crazy.
They say every time I meet someone, they say it's the last year.
I'll never forget the first article I read. I was 12 years old, and it said, "Where have all the pollinators gone?"
Aww.
And I wondered.
I still have never been stung by a bee.
There have been less and less insects. I don't know, throughout the period of my life. Like, I remember when I was little, there'd be tons of fireflies out all the time, and now I never see them.
Yeah, I never see fireflies anymore.
Me too.
Perhaps it's that we're not out at, like, 8 o'clock running around.
No, I've been out and about.
They're just not out in the city.
No, I've been in the suburbs, though.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
I don't know. I feel like
you know where they are. They are at the Orbit Room of Ron Belmont. California.
Yeah.
California.
You and your plug.
Belmont DeVarius.
Remember that, fireflies, are probably driven away more in the suburbs now than they used to be because the suburbs aren't what they used to be. They're more and more and more populated.
Yep.
So it may not be that they're dying out, you're just driving them away. Yep. You're driving them further out.
This story? It's very disparaging to me, so you'll enjoy it.
Are you eating chips and talking at the same time?
I'm trying to. Stop interrupting me.
All right.
Asshole. Fucking A. When I was a kid, I don't know if anyone else did this. Probably not.
Yeah, I was a kid.
I was a kid.
I did that
sucker.
Once.
Yeah.
Got me. I used to, when fireflies were out, I'd get a wiffle bat and then I'd hit them.
No, I didn't.
No,
just murder
I
never
tried to catch them. And
you just murdered them.
Insects.
Who cares? That's just a malice.
I killed them too. I killed them to see what it would look like when you stepped on the light.
It's really cool.
It looks really cool.
Yeah. Fuck you, asshole. Tins did it too.
Yeah, everybody's done it. Everyone's killed a
fireflies.
You're
a fucking liar.
But he didn't go
you're
outside with
liar.
A baseball bat and hunt
no,
them.
No, a wiffle ball.
No,
but cruel
but,
and unusual.
Well, but if they
it's
were like
fun as hell, man.
If they were crawling around on the sidewalk, I would deliberately step on them.
Right, here's the game.
Yeah.
No,
you
hear me out.
Go inside to get a fucking hammer and hammer them into the concrete.
Hear me out. Hear the out.
Oh,
this
God.
Is the game. So it's nighttime. You have a wiffle ball.
I know the game. I get it.
And you can't see them all the time, but you have to guess where they are by where they just recently flashed.
I know.
It's very difficult.
Sounds dangerous.
Oh, it was. It was an extreme sport before extreme sports.
Stubby, if you kill a lightning bug by that method while they're not flashing, do you get like the
you don't
does
get
it
as
luminesce?
Many points.
Well, does it luminesce when it hits the bat? Is what I'm wondering because I know they
depends.
I'm curious.
It would be great if they just burst into the glowing color.
They don't. They don't. You hit them. I think they like glow up. Like a little, not as much as they would, and then you'd stop.
Yeah, tins. If they were glowing when you hit them, then it glowed for a bit.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah,
but if they were
like
not
3 seconds or so, right?
But if they weren't, yeah.
Come on,
yeah.
We've all done it.
I know you're all fucking liars, man.
I didn't say anything
I
bad.
Killed them, but I
you
killed
did,
them, but I didn't. I did not go hunt them with a bat.
I this, put okay. it in a nice little jar and put it next to my bed. Okay,
but you killed it.
Too.
It didn't
Probably
live.
Yeah,
it didn't ever live the night. You're all killing them.
So,
much
so, but if you hit them while
at
they weren't,
at least it died. Pretty
what?
Lean.
Without
wait,
air?
No, Lauren. Wait, hold on,
at
Lauren.
Least she named them before they died.
What
yes,
you, Lauren. What you mean to say is that it died alone. Because you took it away from everyone it knows and put it through your biggest fear.
What a pussy fear, Doc.
No, because it died with
oh
me.
Oh my God, Mark, that's genius.
I was yeah. next.
Mark just won the podcast.
Yeah, guys.
And
winners
we
run.
Have the winner.
It's Mark.
MVP of the Octavarius podcast.
No, Lauren, you lost the podcast. You
wait,
can't
wait,
talk
how
anymore.
How was he alone? I was there with him.
Shut up.
Oh my God.
Good luck being
Lauren,
sad
Lauren,
now, Mark.
Man, I
want to
flip
you're
Lauren's logic around right now. Lauren, could you imagine... If you died there in your bed and someone was like, Laura and I, and he died alone. They're like, no, man, there was a lightning bug in her room. Like, she was fine. I don't feel bad about that at all.
You're right, Chris. I can see.
Sociopath. But yeah, that's what I would do.
You know, speaking of lying in beds, and
it brings
us back to something that I wanted to say earlier about waking up, like when you sleep in a dream. Mm-hmm. You know, sleeping in a dream and you wake up into a dream, that bullshit. Have you ever had that bullshit happen to you?
Well, famous? You heard about that?
Well, I had this happen to me, and I didn't get to talk. I wasn't on the dreaming podcast, and you talked about how if I was
that's
here,
right.
I would talk about my sleep paralysis thing. Mm-hmm. So now's the time to talk about sleep paralysis.
Here we go.
Because there are nights where I go to sleep in fear that I will go have sleep paralysis because I thought about sleep paralysis.
Now, Keith, what is sleep paralysis?
Yeah. Sleep paralysis is when your mind wakes up, but your body doesn't. It doesn't fully wake up. And so it's half in this dream state. But when you go to sleep, your body sort of temporarily paralyzes itself so that you can't hurt yourself when you dream. So that if you're dreaming about running, you're not actually moving. So you don't get hurt. It's
this
something your body.
This is awful. I'm already going to be scared.
It gets worse.
This is
so worse.
This is a thing I never wanted to
know. This is. Okay. So your mind puts your body to sleep because it doesn't want to get hurt. And then the mind goes to sleep and you sort of daydream, but you're not daydreaming. It's a sleep dream. So you're dreaming. And what happens is for whatever reason, half of you wakes up. Half conscious, half dream.
No.
But your body doesn't. So you're aware of your physical surroundings. So you see your bedroom, you see your room. If anyone's making noises in your house, you hear those noises. However, you also project dream images onto that reality.
That's insane.
But because you're awake, you also recognize that you can't move. And your brain goes, why can't I move?
Is this a real
and then,
thing?
Yes. And then your brain goes, why is there a demon in the room?
And you've done this before.
Yes.
Now, wait a minute, Keith. Are you saying that you wake up and there's often a demon or always a demon?
No. When I wake up, normally there's no demon.
What? I thought you said it was usually a demon.
When I have sleep paralysis, when it's normally some sort of demon, monster, horrible thing that can't exist.
I hate that I learned this now.
Keith, this is like, it's like temporary, right?
Yes, it normally only happens once or twice to you, and you can.
It happens to me like all the time.
What?
And that's something different.
Hot Mark, you're such a sad sack.
Maybe. I mean, like, I'll wake up and it's like temporarily, and I'll realize I can't move, and I'll.
Will there be a demon there, Mark?
Sometimes.
Holy shit, Mark!
What
maybe you got sleep paralysis.
No, maybe there's an actual demon that keeps traveling back and forth between our dreams.
this is real.
Like
it's,
maybe
no, it's like one of the scariest things. You're like, why can't I move? What the fuck is happening? And my best hope is that I'll just like fall back asleep, but it's really hard to fall back asleep when you can't.
That's what it is. I'll keep continuing.
Wait, so Mark
has this?
It's all
about the pictures from
everyone. Did we just find out that Mark has this?
Yes, Mark apparently does, but it's okay. Mark, because Mark's life is so horrible, he didn't realize it was bad.
I mean, it's true.
And that's been Mark's sad story of the podcast.
In all honesty, the pizza he was eating in the podcast earlier was probably burnt.
It was. I saw it. Yeah.
It was.
Okay.
And there I was.
There's a lot of insanity happening right now.
Here's why, though, that this is such a big deal. And then it's also in conjunction with how it happened to me. To my brother Brian, he woke up and he couldn't move and he saw a demon in the corner of his room. Hold your screams. And then he could hear my mother talking, and he could hear what she was talking about. And then he had it happen again, where the demon came up to him, sat on his chest, and covered his mouth. He said this specifically to us, as if like this is the first time this has happened to me. I don't know what's going on. He then looked on Google, where it talks about sleep paralysis, and he found like a Wikipedia entry or some online encyclopedia of Renaissance paintings of someone sleeping with their eyes open and a demon sitting on their chest with their hand covering their mouth.
Yeah, there's really
the exact
pictures.
Image and experience he had has happened to millions of other people.
I know, it's called something.
Yeah, it's
sleep paralysis.
Wait, like as in the same demon?
Yeah, like a demon.
Yeah, I forget what they're called.
What does a demon look like? like?
I've mentioned
a demon.
I was afraid of internal things. Now I'm afraid of demons.
I've mentioned this. I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but there's a podcast I used to listen to called Paranormal Activities or something.
Here's the second one, Paranormal Activities.
Yeah, and they've mentioned that before on the podcast, like a real thing where people, and they think it's actual demons, not just sleep paralysis.
It's not real demons.
I'm starting to believe it's actual demons.
I was okay with myself and all this internal shit, but now there's demons.
But here's the second thing. So David, my oldest brother, also had sleep paralysis when he was in college, except his was, for me, I think even more horrifying.
What?
He woke up and he slept on a loft bed, so he was elevated to above the other people in his room. So he woke up and he realized he couldn't move, but he was also like 5 feet in the air because it's a loft bed, and he could turn his eyes just to the right to see, and he saw a man just standing there, like with demon eyes, just standing, staring him straight in the face. Like if you turned your head over on your pillow and someone was 2 inches away from you, staring at you with demon eyes. So that happened to David.
This is awful.
Keith's lucky experience with sleep paralysis.
Oh my God.
All of us, all three of my brother, my two brothers, all of us sibling Habersburgers, mine was that I was in a dream or I was partying and then the party got like scary. So I woke up into another dream of the same nightmare party. To then I woke up to a dream where I was about to have sleep paralysis, to where I woke up in sleep paralysis. Which, and my lucky Victor, may not be as scary, but it was a man standing at the foot of my bed with no head. Just okay. A headless man standing on my bed. But I knew what it was because both of my brothers had told me this. So I knew it's sleep paralysis. It's not real.
Yeah. So because
if you force yourself to realize what's going on, eventually your body does wake up. It wakes up in about 3 minutes.
It's like doing mushrooms.
Which is what happens to you, Mark. Either your body eventually works again or you fall back asleep until it does.
You know, when you take mushrooms.
And how can you fall asleep and there's a headless man at the foot of your bed?
Well, he's standing up.
It's way better than like demon eyes, dude.
The fuck, dude?
Yeah.
Mark, I've been dealing with all this other
Mark,
shit. Now I
you
have demons
thought for the rest of your life that was just what I.
One in five. Hey, you know it's great.
That sucks, man.
A statistic that's real. One in five people has this happen, and me and Mark are two of nine people in this room that have had this happen.
Whoa. That is ridiculous.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I can't believe. So you, Mark.
Do we have enough time to talk about this forever?
Man, I'm having fun.
I'm good on this.
Wait, Mark. So you've gone your entire life and did not know that this is a thing.
Well, I don't have, like, the things that'll appear will just be things that were kind of like from the dreams.
Yeah,
it'll
that happens
feel
too.
Feel really real because I'm awake basically, and a lot of times it'll be like I'll wake up and I'll see like my clock and I'm like, it's not time to wake up. Why am I awake? I should turn that. Wait, I can't move. No.
More importantly, Mark, what does your demon look like?
That's the most important.
Have you ever seen a demon or something that's not related to your dream?
No, but I will now.
Oh, fuck. He just hasn't visited
this
you.
This has been a sad story.
I am going to be thinking about fucking demons now. Well, this is awful. I hate this part.
It's never happened here in our apartment.
This is
going to
give me a complex.
It's only happened to me once. It only happened to David once. And it only happened to Brian 3 or 4 times.
So it happens to Mark all the fucking time.
The spirits just visited you, but they really liked your brother and stuck
around.
Brian also only dreams in nightmares.
That's my worst fear.
That's like a horrible curse you put on someone.
I want to change my fear forever.
The ultimate tragic flaw.
That's my new fear.
Brian,
oh my God.
Brian has let us in on the secret that, yeah, I don't have good dreams ever. They're all nightmares.
I'm a sad sack, you know, and that sounds
I just
terrible.
Assumed everyone else had nightmares all the time, too.
Because how do you know, dude? You don't talk about your dreams all the time. It's always boring.
It's like a curse of Sisyphus.
The three of you seem very, you know, normal, yet somewhat off, but yeah. like in an exceptional way.
Because of all the demon dreams.
Because of something's like, wrong with us.
Is it our the demon work, dreams?
Our brains work weirder now.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah, because a curse has been placed on all of you.
I would love to find
Did
out.
Did your parents make a deal with a gypsy?
Wouldn't that be hilarious if that all the Habersburgers are cursed? All Habersburger men are cursed.
You know, Caselli's mom's side of the family are gypsies.
That's right. That's what my dad says.
Wait, say that again?
Oh, yeah. My dad makes fun of my mom all the time and says that her... Because my dad's Cuban.
Yeah.
He's always makes fun of my mom's side. So it's like, oh, going to your mom's side today. And watch out... Well, gypsies over there. You know.
Yeah, no,
they're not gypsies by any means.
That used to be a serious fear, though. People used to legitimately fear gypsies coming in and stealing their children away.
Well,
terrified of gypsies.
I was always.
Wait, I gotta hear that. Yeah. I gotta hear about this.
Why is that so funny? Lisa, have you experienced gypsies? I've experienced gypsies.
You know my hate and fear of them.
I don't get it because they're people.
Do you know about gypsies? Do you know gypsies though?
Dude, yeah, they try to steal things in my purse.
Dude, you guys don't fucking know gypsies.
When I was in
the thing is, like, you talked about it like they're goblins.
Yeah. They human. Might as well be.
Let Lisa talk.
I'm sorry.
Lisa knows.
Dude, I know firsthand. I was on the train in Italy, and this gypsy would come up, and, like, they would, they would just try and steal your stuff, or, like, they give you a piece of paper or things to read over, and then, you know, there's kind of a little, I don't know what you call it, a story that everyone tells each other about, like, if a gypsy throws a baby at you, don't catch it, because they'll steal your money.
Yes! You didn't know this story, Tins? You're making a face like you don't know it.
Die. Like,
how can you not catch a flying baby at you, though?
It's a Tins, gypsy.
If a gypsy throws a baby at you, don't Tins, save its life.
Tins, this is a classic gypsy move.
Milo is standing up. Second he's standing up, and he's leaning over the microphone in the sandbox.
You do not know my family and friends' history with gypsies. I gotta tell you, they're horrible people.
How
can
many
we even
wolves?
Place gypsy with goblin for the rest.
How many wolves have killed a baby because of gypsies?
You used to call me a gypsy, you jackass. You hate gypsies this much, and that was what you called me.
You paid for everything in cash.
I didn't have a credit card.
Give me a baby. I'm gonna yell gypsy.
It is a gypsy-like thing. No. I'll explain later. Go ahead, Lisa.
No, well, yeah, it's like a well-known story that you shouldn't catch it because they'll literally, they don't care if their baby dies, and then they'll just take your stuff.
I don't like the moral of that story.
Yes, if someone, gypsies, I shit you not, Tins, they will throw a baby at you. Their own living child.
Like, is this a real thing or an old adage?
No, I saw gypsies. They didn't throw any babies at me.
Well, maybe not.
Babies would throw. Maybe they had thrown their babies already.
Before we continue...
Right.
They already wasted their baby.
You're right. I really don't know that.
Guys, before we continue, I just want to point out how grateful I am we avoided the racist podcast question.
Mark with a double win.
Even though you have a terrible existence with demons, you won this podcast.
I got news
for you. One day I will win the podcast.
Mark, I got news for you. No gypsy is going to buy anything we have. And if they do, they'll probably steal the damn tickets to come in and watch the show.
My dad hates gypsies. And
everyone hates gypsies?
Because
Am I the guy?
Well, no. We were driving one time, and he saw a person that looked like they may be a gypsy. And he braked and, like, waited for them to walk away. Because he's like, I don't want them doing that flop bullshit on my car.
Baba Musinski!
You
know about the gypsy flop, don't you?
No.
You don't know the gypsy flop!
Why is this common knowledge?
The gypsy flop sounds like a terrible
Mark, please tell them about the gypsy flop.
What my dad was scared of is that he would be cruising in his Mercury Sable.
Yes.
On our way to the Chain of Lakes to do some fishing.
Go on.
And we were walking, and there's a gypsy on the side of the road.
A goddamn gypsy.
Is they jump out in the road, and then you brake, obviously, because you don't want to kill them. And then what happens is you stop, but like they'll flop on the hood of your car as if you hit them.
Yeah.
And then they will demand money or they will call the cops.
Yep.
I had no
idea. Classic gypsy trick.
It was also used in the movie Curly Sue.
From back before cars were born.
This is actually cited as a reference in The Hunchback of Notre Dame, where the gypsy falls in love with a troll.
Wait, did a gypsy flop
when
in The Hunchback of Notre Dame?
Is that what you said?
Did she throw a baby at somebody?
She might have.
Yeah, because Hunchback, they're all gypsies.
Yeah.
That's weird that they make gypsies look so good when they're such horrible people.
I know.
Look, here's the thing.
There is a
special like a communal thing with gypsies, and there's all sorts of cultural things about gypsies.
Is it I don't understand. What is an actual gypsy? What is the definition of
it? I don't know. A damn dirty person.
Is it a nomad?
I don't know.
Well, a nomad.
Guys.
Just a nomad?
I actually, in all seriousness, my uncle... actually, recently, he got flopped, or whatever you call it, by a gypsy. Oh, and really? he doesn't have insurance. So he's just up over his head in debt. Wow. And he doesn't know where to turn to manage his debt.
Oh my god, I totally
forgot. Oh, you know? Oh, fuck you god. So hard, Chris.
It's just like, where is he gonna go to manage his debt?
Oh my god.
Chris with the steal. Sorry, Mike Musinski, you've just lost the podcast. Chris is the new winner.
I'm so sad about it. Chris. If your uncle is that depressed, I gotta tell you, buddy.
I want to give it back to
your uncle.
Mark wins.
Winner.
Finish your goddamn ad, B-Will.
Oh, God. Chris, your uncle should not fret about any gypsy debt, because if he has a debt of $10,000 or more in credit card debt, Legal Helper's debt resolution would be able to help negotiate down that debt with any dirty gypsy.
Now, does he have to call a phone number? Or...
Yeah, what is that phone number? Actually?
Matt Castelvi knows.
Okay. Play your tiny thumb symbols for the gypsy song.
I'm singing. 8-6-6-9-6-3-2-3-5-4. Legal Helpers Debt Resolution. LegalHelpersDR.com.
LegalHelpersDR.com, you say? Should he mention anything when he's there? Maybe that Octavarius told him about it?
Yeah. That's probably a good idea.
Tell him Octavarius sent you.
Okay.
Yeah, and when you're popping on in to Legal Helper's debt resolution, don't forget to grab a bag of friendly, warm, happy, happy pop chips.
Friendly?
Yeah.
Warm? Happy, yeah. Happy?
Pop chips.
What flavors?
Pop chips, they come in original, which is average at best.
Yeah. They have a salt and pepper one that's
kind of
is. Salt and pepper is good.
Like their salt and vinegar,
their barbecue is wonderful.
I think I remember enjoying one of the flavors, but I can't remember for
their
the life of me which.
Their sour cream and onion tastes like garbage.
I'm glad that they're not our real sponsor.
Here's pop chips.
Would be fired so
pop chips. They're not baked, they're not fried, they're popped with pressure like popcorn. So they've got all the flavor and crispiness of a fried chip with all the health benefactors of baked.
Right.
And if you eat pop chips, boy, will you smile. You'll smile so much that you'll never die. Eat pop chips for the rest of your life. Pop chips, the fresh maker.
Say pop chips, the fresh maker.
Yeah.
You know, like
that can't be legal.
No. It's Mentos.
Okay,
I said it was better than Pringles once. Whatever.
That was good.
We got the ads out of the way. I can finally press the stop button on this thing.
Oh god damn it!
There's so much good.
But
this was epic.
Yeah,
yeah,
I hope we lose it all so that Mark's win will go unnoticed.
I just want you to know, I started.
Say another word, Mark.
I started this podcast only being afraid of internal things, and now all of you assholes have made me afraid of demons and all sorts
and
of terrible things.
And gypsies.
Well, we already said demons.
Yeah. Well, my I wouldn't call my fear of gypsies really fear. It's more a suspicion.
And on that note, Tim's
all right. Well, if you have any fears yourself, feel free to shoot them to info@octavarius.com. Yeah, Mark?
Yep.
That's it.
Great. Thanks.
This
has been the Octavarius Podcast. Thanks for sticking around for 25 episodes, and check back every Monday for a fresh
thanks
one.
Thanks for coming to all the shows that are still going on.
Comedy Sports.
Plus Cow.
Comedy Sports. Sundays at 7.
Only July.
$5 to get in right now.
Only $5 for the whole night.
Come on, you'd be an idiot not to do that.
You're not a fucking idiot, are you?
Don't say that. Not everyone can make it.
Have 8 days in a wicked week.
Bye.
Wait, don't ruin it.
That's what Tim says. So.
Charlie said bye.
God damn it, Lauren.
I can wait as long as you can.
Fuck Lauren. Just gonna wait till the class is off.
Mark, you just lost.
Shut
it.
Shut the
fuck down. I want to eat more chips.
You won't.
Okay.
Say bye, everybody.
Bye. Octavarius.com.
Come.